X1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Early voting began Saturday in Michigan's Republican primary and South Carolina's primaries, now less than a week away. ABC's Alex Brachet is in Detroit with more on the race for the Republican nomination.
Former President Trump trading the courtroom for the campaign trail, making weekend stops in Pennsylvania and Michigan, acting as the presumptive GOP nominee. Nikki Haley's taking aim at the former president and his legal woes.
You can't win an election if you're spending more time in court than you are on the campaign trail.
She's 32 points behind him in her own state, but insists she's not going anywhere.
President Biden said he spoke with Ukrainian President Zelensky and reassured him that Congress will authorize more aid for Ukraine. Head of the World Health Organization says the only remaining hospital in southern Gaza is no longer functioning. And it's been a year since former President Jimmy Carter announced he was entering hospice care. The family of the now 99-year-old says he's at home. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Converting livestock waste into renewable energy may seem like a good idea at first blush, but digesters cause problems that advocates say need to be addressed. More from Mike Mohn.
Anaerobic digesters create biogas by removing methane from livestock waste. The gas can then be used for electricity, heat, or vehicle fuel. Supporters say the process limits methane from reaching the atmosphere. The USDA's REAP program helps fund these projects on farms in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Andy Olson with the Environmental Law and Policy Center says the jury's still out on the effectiveness of digesters, and he urges the USDA to keep science in mind.
There's how things work on paper, and then there's how things work on the ground. And there's a lot of space in between the two.
Olson says the industry still needs to overcome challenges like methane leaks. Skeptics of this technology say, among other things, federal funding incentivizes farms to expand their operations, creating more nuisance issues for surrounding communities. Still, Olson says the industry should be given time to address the shortcomings. REAP, which stands for Rural Energy for America program, also funds wind and solar projects on farm sites. Olson notes there's been added support from the Inflation Reduction Act to expand outreach and technical assistance as a way to boost interest.
So I'm hoping to see a lot more good energy efficiency projects from them, which is the number one place we should be starting.
Olson says improvements to grain dryers that can help reduce natural gas use and harvesting are another example of energy efficiency efforts. As for digesters, a report from the Wisconsin Office of Energy Innovation says there are 136 operating systems around the state, 34 tied to agriculture. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Badgers lose in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Number 20th ranked Wisconsin watched a 13-point lead in the first half slip away as the Iowa Hawkeyes won 88-86 in overtime. Matt LePay with the call in Iowa City.
1.3 seconds to play. Badgers down two. Rolling left is Gilmore. Throws it inbounds. It's picked off by Sanford, and Iowa wins it in overtime. 88-86.
Stephen Crowell led with a season-high 22 points. The Badgers have now lost five of their last six games. Head coach Greg Gard.
I mean, if a battle to nine down on the road to get back and get tied and have a lead, you know, we got the ball in pretty high percentage areas there. Tyler fouls out, so it takes away one of our post presences. But we still got it there. A.J. had it deep. You know, Chucky had it in there. But as we break this down, the large portion of this is going to be what we didn't get accomplished defensively.
That's Wisconsin head basketball coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies on tap for your Sunday with a west breeze, highs in the upper 30s. Tonight we'll see mostly clear skies, lower 20s early Monday morning, but there will be more clouds on the way during the day Monday, highs in the mid 40s, a light south breeze. It's 24 at our studios.
The Max Inc. Matinee Showcase is back Sunday, February 18th at the High Noon Saloon in Madison, featuring the German art students, The Apologist, and L. Donk. Doors open at noon, the show starts at 1, and you're home in time for supper. The Max Inc. Matinee Showcase. Advanced tickets on sale now at high-noon.com. Presented by Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and Civic Media. Hometown Radio Refreshed.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History Story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Star. Good morning. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be on there at high noon Central Time. President's Day around the corner.
Gentlemen, I'd like to have you know what this show is all about. With the title, Mr. President, you wondered no doubt just who it could be. Don't jump to conclusions. It's not who you think. Not the Roosevelts. not the Trumans, not the Eisenhowers, no. This is not that kind of show, not the Kennedys, no, not the Kennedys. Just a family of four, so it couldn't be the Kennedys. With the Kennedys, there'd have to be more than four. Just a simple American, not one of the greats. But he happens to be president of these United States. And now I'd like you to take a glance at a formal, dignified White House dance.
Here's Fess Parker.
I can hear the echo of a thousand ringing bells. I can smell the cannons and hear the people's yells. Long live George Washington, their ghostly voices say. And I still feel his spirit to this very day. I can see a young boy growing straight and tall, and as I watch him hunt and ride, I've no doubt at all, it won't be long till he's full grown, and then will come the day he'll become the president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. Up on his great white horse, I feel the loneliness he felt while steering history's course. He was first in war and first in peace, and he was first again in the hearts of everyone of his countrymen. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. At Valley Forge he held his men in hand, then crossed the Delaware, and there in Trenton freed this land. He's the father of our country, and to this very day he's the first and greatest president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. He's the first and greatest president of the USA.
Fess Parker, Davy Crockett, that's right, you remember him. 1955, when he retired from showbiz, he started a very popular winery in California. Let me tell you that Irving Berlin wrote this in the early 60s, and he had Robert Ryan and Nanette Fabre up in the Emerald Spotlight. Here they are.
Let's go back to the waltz. Take me back to the waltz. Let's journey back to the past. Back when the world wasn't turning so fast. Long ago, how
never seen the musical, but it was 1961. Irving Berlin wrote all the music, and Howard Lindsay, Russell Crouse, put together the play. It's a fictional president. He's got a very presidential name, Stephen Decatur Henderson. Now, doesn't that sound leadership right there? He runs into political trouble. He goes to the Soviet Union, which is out of business now, and he has problems with his kids. He figures, well, I'm not doing well with the family, so I'll be a politician. Here's Fess Parker now, a tall American.
There was a man you know a long time ago. They say he never had a pretty face. But he was a man so tall, he could love the great and small. He walked into history and there he took his place. Honest Abe Lincoln, he set the people thinking. He wouldn't lie to you and he wouldn't lie to me. There was trouble, he was tried, but the Lord was by his side. The tall American was a man of destiny. From a cabin small he came, striding down a country lane, for there was trouble in the promised land. But no one could put him down for 1,000 miles around, so terrible and mighty was the power of his hand. Honest Abe Lincoln, he set the people thinking. He wouldn't lie to you and he wouldn't lie to me. There was trouble, he was tried, but the Lord was by his side. The tall American was a man of destiny. Down to Washington he went to become the president and pass a law for all the world to see. And they're looking to us now, long ago we showed them how. Lincoln wanted every kind of people to be free. Well, a rebel shot him dead, that's what everybody said. But men as great as Lincoln never die. So if you're an honest man, try to do the best you can. And someday you will meet him away up in the sky. Oh, honest Abe Lincoln, he set the people thinking. To you and he wouldn't lie to me. There was trouble, he was tried, but the Lord was by his side. The tall American was a man of destiny. The tall American was a man of destiny.
From Holiday Inn.
On a February morn, a tiny baby boy was born. Abraham, Abraham. When he growed up, this tiny babe, folks all called him Honest Abe. Abraham, Abraham. In 1860 he became the 16th president, and now he's in the Hall of Fame, a most respected gem. That's why we celebrate this blessed February day. Abraham,
when black folks lived in slavery, who was it set the donkey free?
Abraham!
That's right, child. Abraham! When troubles come down from the shelf, whose heart was bigger than himself? Abraham!
Yummy!
Abraham!
The country's going to the dogs, they shouted loud and strong.
Then from a cabin made out of logs, the right man came along.
Now that is why we celebrate this blessed February day.
Thanks.
Yes!
The one whose name was Nancy Hanks.
Tell me!
Abraham. She gave this land the finest son.
That's what she did.
Whoever went to Washington.
Who that?
Abraham.
When someone told him General Grant was drinking every night, he answered, go on out, see if you can't get all my generals tired. That's why we celebrate this blessed February day. Abraham.
Abraham.
All joking aside, let's look at this matter from my side. Well, you all know I'm just a fresh lawyer trying to get ahead. But some of you boys act like you want to do me out of my first client. I'm not saying you fellas are not right. Maybe these boys do deserve to hang. But with me handling their case, don't look like you'll have much to worry about on that score. All I'm asking is to have it done with some legal pomp and show.
That's right. All right. That's probably right. Up on our side of it. Right.
We've gone to a heap of trouble not to have at least one hanging.
Sure you have, Mac. And if these boys had more than one life, I'd say go ahead. Maybe a little hanging mightn't do them any harm. But the sort of hanging you boys would give them would be so... so... permanent. Trouble is, when men start taking the law into their own hands, they're just zapped in all the confusion and fun to start hanging somebody who's not a murderer, somebody who is. And the next thing you know, they're hanging one another just for fun. Till it gets to a place a man can't pass a tree or look at a rope without feeling uneasy. We seem to lose our heads in times like this. We do things together that we'd be mighty ashamed to do by ourselves.
Henry Fonda as a young Mr. Lincoln. Here's Dion DiMucci. The music of the stars on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Young.
Richard Holler wrote that. Here's Robert Ryan. Irving Berlin.
It gets lonely in the White House when your cares begin. And the White House is a big place to be lonely in. When you're all alone there staring into space, and you wish the man you ran against could be there in your place. It gets lonely in the White House when you've been attacked by the loyal opposition getting in the act. If you make the wrong decision when the final chips are down, the White House is the loneliest place in town. It gets lonely in the White House when you're sitting there, and you have to do your thinking in a rocking chair. When some exercise would keep you feeling well, but a journey to the golf course and the country's gone to hell. When a bill to lower taxes must go on the shelf, and you'd really like to sign it to pay less yourself. When your speech is optimistic, but the stocks keep tumbling down, the White House is the loneliest place in town.
That's Lester Lannon on the singing string.
Behind me stands a wall that encircles the free sectors of this city, part of a vast system of barriers that divides the entire continent of Europe. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Oh, what a trip, what a wonderful trip. And to think that I was worried at the start of the trip. I must confess that I was filled with doubt. But there was really nothing to worry about. They love me, they love me. I'm welcomed everywhere with open arms. They love me, they love me. I never knew I had so many charms. In Pakistan they took me sailing on a lovely lake. In India they let me see a mongoose kill a snake. Because they love me, they love me. And they want me to come back again. They love me, they love me. In Tokyo they think that I'm a dream. They claimed me and named me America's ambassador supreme. They always have a banquet on the day that I arrive. In Borneo they made me eat an octopus alive. Because love me, they love me. And they want me to come back again. Pierce a hole and put a ring right through my nose. Because they love me, they love me. And they want me to come back again. The day I left Arabia, my seat was full of bumps. They made me ride a camel sitting in between the humps. Because and greet me with every kind of present you could name. The elephant I rode upon when I was in Iraq turned up his trunk and sneezed and I was blown right off his back.
Because we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you.
That's Nanette Fabre from Mr. President Irving Berlin.
It's been a long time since a president and his family have been subjected to such a heavy barrage of teasing and fun poking and satire. I mean, there have been books on backstairs at the White House, cartoon books with clever sayings, and photo albums with balloons and the rest, and now a smash hit record. Can you tell us whether you read and listen to these things and whether they produce annoyment or enjoyment?
Annoyment. No, they produce. Yes, I have read them and listened to them. Actually, I listened to Mr. Meade's record, but I thought it sounded more like Teddy than it did me. But
I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
The President, the President, salute the leader of our nation. The President, the President.
In 1775, the son of a wealthy Virginia landowner, a gentleman farmer who had served 7 years as a colonel in the British Army, was appointed by the Continental Congress to be the commander-in-chief of the Colonial Army. George Washington was to lead 300,000 untrained, ill-equipped citizen soldiers against the armies of Great Britain.
From Bunker Hill to Yorktown, 6 long years, they fought, retreated, turned, and fought again.
What course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And they finished up at Yorktown with a mighty will, but they started up on Bunker Hill.
As Walter Brennan.
We're talking with former Governor Reagan, and during the break we were discussing when I mentioned that I thought most people were not apathetic. I think they're confused, basically, because you hear intelligent people from both political parties or in the middle, conservatives and liberals, and they all seem to have different answers as to what is going wrong in the country. Some people say, well, let's let the government spend billions of dollars, and then some other people say, no, no more federal spending. Let's give the tax rebates. And the other intelligent people say, no tax rebates. We've got to do this and do that. So everybody is confused. How do you see the thing? How are we going to get out of this?
Well, Johnny, I think that one of the things is that people keep looking to government for the answer, and government's the problem. A moment ago, you asked, you know, about people and feeling not only confused, but
right,
low and down in America. First of all, the American people, if they would just take a little inventory and look around, you triple our troubles, and we're better off than any other people on earth. And we've asked so much of government, and we've gotten in the habit over the last 40 years of thinking that government has the answers. There's very little that government can do as efficiently and as economically as the people can do themselves. And if government would shut the doors and sneak away for about 3 weeks, we'd never miss them. Now, if the people want to...
Anybody you had in mind particularly?
No, I said this while I was in government.
Okay.
Our biggest problem is that we have built a permanent structure of government, federal, state, and local. The permanent employees, and they've come to the place that they actually determine policy in this country more than does the Congress of the United States. Mm-hmm. There are 14.5 million public employees in the United States. That's quite a voting block. And the bureaus and agencies, not in Washington, I heard you talking earlier about some of the research programs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a senator the other day, and he took up some pages of the congressional record. He was doing the same thing you were, listing all these crazy research programs and how much they were costing, and wound up his speech by introducing his own. He wants a study and a research of transcendental meditation.
So,
you know, there's a state senator in Michigan, and he just found out the other day they got a $93,000 study on whether chitlins are bad for you. And he said that as a fourth-generation chitlin eater, he figured that he could tell you how for 93 cents you could find out the answer to that.
No, we laugh at those things, but they do happen, I guess.
The Secret Service makes me nervous. When I am dating, they are waiting to observe us. When I get ready to hold steady for a kiss, he'll plant. The Secret Service makes me nervous, and I can't. They're always spying, no denying. They're always peeping, gumshoe creeping, private eyeing. When I'm beginning to give inning like a maiden aunt, the Secret Service makes me nervous, and I can't. I've been exposed beyond control, just like a goldfish in a bowl. The president's daughter must drink water. No drink of scotch, she might do what she hadn't oughter. When I'm ignored, nervous, makes me nervous when my lamps are lit. And I say this. The Secret Service makes me nervous. Those White House dicks get all their kicks when they observe us. Just as I wind up, make my mind up not to say I won't. The Secret Service makes me nervous, and I don't. When things look rosy, they get nosy. They'll say there's Tootsie playing footsie, very cozy. My pulse goes higher, I'm on fire, shaking at the knees. The Secret Service makes me nervous, and I freeze. Whatever I may do or say will be reported the next day. When I'm reported, it's distorted. They don't see clearly when I'm merely being courted. When I'm just necking, simply pecking with a Cary Grant, they stand behind me to remind me who and what I am. When I don't give a damn, the Secret Service makes me nervous, and I can't.
Ah, that's Nanette Fabre for Mr. President by Irving Berlin.
December 1776, on the banks of the Delaware. Cruel winds whistle through the threadbare clothing of the 8,000-man American army. All too aware of General Howe's powerful troops across the icy waters, they await the decision of their leader, General George Washington. For he and he alone can make the choice upon which hinges the destiny of their infant nation.
All right, then. How much you want for the boat that says Popeye on it?
$1.20 an hour.
Well, how about the one that says Donald Duck on it?
Eh?
The one with the little striped awning there?
Oh, yeah. Well, that boat right there?
That boat right there?
That boat right
That's
there?
That's the boat.
Will run you $2 an hour.
What? That's an outrage. This is December. It's your off-season.
Huh.
How many customers can you get this time
Look,
of year?
Look, fella, you run the army and let me run the boat rental, okay?
All right. Don't get smart with me. I'm General Washington.
I know who you are. I seen your picture on the money, and I wish you'd make up your mind. The boat rides are closing.
Well, let's review them once again here. Popeye was $1.20 an hour.
That's right, $1.20 an hour, that's right.
And the one with the stripe and awning.
General Duck.
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it?
The men are freezing. So? So we were wondering if
yes?
we could come to some decision on the boat.
Yeah, they think they got problems. I just had my wig set this morning, and this damp air isn't doing it any good. Look at it, straight as a stick.
Well, it looks just fine to me, sir.
Really?
Huh? Yes, yes.
Think it looks all right?
Listen, you're going to rent a boat tonight or not? I'd like to freeze my ears off.
All right, don't rush me.
If we could make a decision on the boat, sir, it'll soon be daylight.
Well, let it be daylight. We're liable to tip over out there at night.
Yes, well, there was the element of surprise in the whole thing, don't you see, sir?
Oh. Well, all right. You can get the men loaded in the other boats. Get that out of the way.
They are in the other boats, sir. They have been for hours. Now, if we could just come
all
to
right.
some...
All right. Hold your horses.
We ate the horses yesterday, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be with you
Did
shortly.
You really eat the horses yesterday?
I didn't. They did. Enlisted men. Now I got it narrowed down to two here. Popeye has the dear little seats in it.
Yes, yes.
That's $1.20.
Uh-huh.
See? And Donald Duck has the stripe and awning.
I see.
$2. Now, I'll leave it up to you, Lieutenant. Doesn't that strike you as a little high?
Well, I don't know, sir. Perhaps a bit, but...
All right, you see there? Huh. Now, what would you say to $1.75 for Donald Duck?
$2 an hour, not a penny less.
Say, what are you trying to do, gouge a serviceman?
Well, I might ask, what are you army guys trying to do? Stifle the small businessman?
Why, that's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
All right, then, kick the end of Donald Duck around there again. Let me see it.
I can't. My feet are frozen. Look, mister, why don't you take the one called Popeye? You'll be happy with that boat. The price is right, $1.20 an hour.
Well, I don't know. You like it, Lieutenant?
She's a beaut, sir. Besides, we're only renting it for the one night.
But you really like it better than the one with the awning.
You wouldn't want the one with the awning, sir. Once you got into it, you'd hate it. Honestly, take the other one.
Popeye, you think it's really me?
Yes, on my word, sir, it's you.
But I just don't know about the color.
The color is fine. Black is a great color. It sets off your wig.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Popeye it is.
I tell you, boy, I've seen some customers, but this guy's a Lulu.
Now, we got everything, the flag?
Right, sir.
The ukulele?
Yes, sir.
The sandwiches?
The boatman has some right here, sir.
Oh. What kind you got there?
I got ham and Swiss, liverwurst or tuna salad.
Well, let me see. Is the tuna salad good today?
It's you! It's you!
All right, how much?
25 cents!
What? 25 cents for a tuna salad sandwich?
Here, take it with my blessings!
Well, I...
Take a liverwurst, too! Enjoy! Enjoy!
And so the Delaware was crossed. Thus was begun one of the most glorious pages in American history.
Imagine that guy. Wanted 25 cents. Lousy tuna. Whoops, watch where you're rowing there. You might like the little boat I picked out for you here? Called Popeye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to have you know what this show is all about. With the title, Mr. President, you've wondered, no doubt, just who it could be. Don't jump to conclusions. It's not who you think. Not the Roosevelts. Not the Trumans. Not the Eisenhowers. No, this is not that kind of show. Not the Kennedys. No, not the Kennedys. Just a family of four. So it couldn't be the Kennedys. With the Kennedys, there'd have to be more than four. Just a simple American, not one of the greats. But he happens to be president of these United States. And now I'd like you to take a glance at a formal, dignified White House dance.
Welcome. There are songs about Montana and New York and Indiana, but the song the nation patiently awaits is the song I now will bring you as I clear my throat and sing you a love song to the whole United States. I love you. District of Columbia, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Alabama, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Oklahoma, West Virginia, California, Georgia, Texas, Maine, Mississippi, Washington, South Carolina, Arkansas, North Carolina, Tennessee, Louisiana, Iowa, Nevada, Kansas, Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, New Jersey, Wisconsin, Utah, Maryland, Kentucky, Oregon, Rhode Island, Idaho, Hawaii, and Vermont, Virginia, Delaware, Wyoming, and Connecticut.
Delaware, boy, what did Delaware? She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. That's what she did wear.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, why did California? Why did California? Why did California? Was she all alone? She called to say how are ya. She called to say how are ya. She called to say how are ya. That's why she did call.
Uno, two, three, cuatro.
Oh, what did Mississippi boy? What did Mississippi? What did Mississippi boy? Through her pretty lips. She sipped the Minnesota, she sipped the Minnesota, she sipped the Minnesota, that's what she did sip.
Oh,
where has Oregon, boy, where has Oregon? If you want Alaska, Alaska, where she's gone? She went to pay her taxes, she went to pay her taxes, she went to pay her taxes, that's where she has gone.
I buy, drive, beer.
Oh, how did Wisconsin, boy, she stole a new brass key. Too bad that Arkansas, boy, and so did Tennessee. It made poor Florida die, boy, it made poor Florida die. You see, she died in misery, boy, she died in misery. Oh, what did Delaware, boy, what did Delaware?
Harry Como.
What did Delaware, boy, what did Delaware?
Here's Michael Douglas and the American President.
A couple of months, Senator Rumson has suggested that being president of this country was to a certain extent about character. And although I have not been willing to engage in his attacks on me, I've been here 3 years and 3 days. And I can tell you without hesitation, being president of this country is entirely about character. For the record, yes, I am a card-carrying member of the ACLU, but the more important question is, why aren't you, Bob? Now, this is an organization whose sole purpose is to defend the Bill of Rights, so it naturally begs the question, why would a senator, his party's most powerful spokesman and a candidate for president, choose to reject upholding the Constitution? Now, if you can answer that question, folks, then you're smarter than I am, because I didn't understand it until a few hours ago.
This is a great country, so let's shout it clear and loud.
Shout it loud!
Take a look in your history book, and you'll see why we should be proud.
Be proud, hats off!
Hats off to America,
America,
the home of the free and the brave. If this is flag waving, flag waving, do you know of a better flag to wave?
This is a great country, a great country. So let's shout it clear and
this is flag waving, flag waving. Do you know of a better flag to wave? Impossible.
Do you know a better flag?
Forget it.
There is no better flag.
Bing Crosby, Irving Berlin, from Mr. President. The music of the stars. Stars on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stand by for news and weather. We're on the road to High Noon Central on most of these Civic Media radio stations.
Listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.